Get started. Turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 21, please. All right. All right. Isaiah chapter 21. Right. The burden of Duma. He calleth to me out of Zaire. Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? The watchman said, the morning cometh, and also the night. If you will inquire, inquire ye, return. Come. You know, thinking about this watchman, this place of a watchman that the Bible talks about, I think it's been misrepresented in a lot of ways. I think it hasn't been really explained well enough for people to understand what that is. But if you look in the Word of God, if you look in the Bible is very clear that a pastor is to be a watchman.
Amen.
That's what a pastor is supposed to be. And the Bible talks about the watchmen. The Bible talks about those watchmen, those pastors that are to be watchmen. And let me pray first. I'm going to get into this. Father, Lord, I pray you bless us now. Help us, dear God. Please, Lord, help folks to understand this great truth. In Jesus' holy name we pray, and amen. Father, I think of my Father in heaven. I think of what He's done for us, and I think of the position that He has placed pastors in today, and how we have totally ignored, in modern Christianity, they totally ignored this place of a watchman among those that are pastors, among those that are supposed to be the shepherds, that are supposed to be shepherding the sheep.
Amen. Right.
The Bible has much to say about the watchmen. I believe the main watchmen, again, are the New Testament pastors that are supposed to bark and warn others of trouble that is coming.
Right.
The watchman is not an office in the church, but part of the duties of the bishop in the church, in the New Testament church. Watchmen are the pastors that are supposed to bark louder than anyone. And you have some men that call themselves watchmen today.
Yeah.
Now, you know what? We're all told to watch. And that's true. There's a sphere of authority that God has given all men and women where God has placed them to do what God has called them to do. However, here's the thing that you have to understand. God has placed that authority of a watchman upon the pastor, upon the bishops, upon that position. It's the main authority there. Consider, turn to Isaiah chapter 56 and verse number 10. Why is it that we have such a derelict of duty today among preachers? Just like this Burlington revival and just like all this stuff that's going on, nobody wants to be reproved. Nobody wants to be called out. No spiritual movement wants any examination at all today. Never mind that the Bible tells us to try the spirits whether they are of God. Never mind the Bible tells us those things. Nope, don't do it. Don't do it. Just follow the crowd.
Amen.
Follow the herd. The Bible says, try the spirits where they have God.
Amen.
Look what Isaiah chapter 56, verse number 10 says. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough. Now, here's where it likens the watchmen, the dumb dogs, and the shepherd. Watch this. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his gain, for his quarter. All for their own gain. Never mind doing things selflessly, like the Bible says a bishop must be selfless, right? He's got to be. He can't be self-willed. But you have evangelists, you have pastors, you have others today that they're not being watchmen. They're not warning. Why? Because it's not popular.
Right.
Right.
It's never fun and it's never popular to tell the truth to people.
That's right.
Too many pastors that are supposed to be warning against the apostasy of the day are not barking. They are dumb dogs that cannot bark. They will not bark.
That's right.
Amen.
Why? Because nobody likes the dog that barks. You always have you ever noticed how you always tell the dog that barks to shut up?
Yep.
Right?
Right? It's like our nature. When you hear the dog bark, it's much, oh, shut up, knock it off. Right?
Right.
Well, so it is with the Christians. When they hear those pastors, when they hear them bark,
right,
they don't want to hear them bark because they're sleeping. We'll get to that.
Right.
They're sleeping. There is a sleep and a spiritual slumber throughout those that name the name of Christ today. That's right. I'm going to talk about that. That's right. In the night, listen to this, in the darkest of night is when you are to trust a dog to bark and warn you of an intruder coming. It's in the darkest of night. That's when you want it, man. When it's 2 o'clock in the morning, it is dark. And that dog hears something that it does not like. And you thank God for that dog barking. Why? Because even if you do have a firearm, if you have a weapon or whatever, that dog gives you something. Time. He gives you time and a buffer, right?
Wakes you up,
right? And a distraction, so you're safe. He gives you cover. He gives you time. You know what? That's what a watchman is supposed to do. He's supposed to bark really loud. He's supposed to warn you really and be very loud about it, which we're going to get to in a minute. You expect him to warn you of danger. You expect that dog. You know what? If he's a dumb dog that cannot bark, what do? You get rid of him.
Right.
You wouldn't want a dog that didn't bark.
Right.
Even though you get upset sometimes when he barks too much or she barks too much, but you know what? You still thank God you got that dog there, especially when you need it, especially when there's an intruder, especially when there's someone coming in, an invader.
Right.
Yep.
Watchmen, what of the night? What of the night? I think about this, and all I can think about is when I was going through this message and just thinking about this, I heard a little devotion from Spurgeon. It was very timely. I was playing for my children Spurgeon's morning and evening devotions, and they're like 3 minutes long, and I was playing it, and just as all this stuff has been going on, all this stuff, this sermon, and this little 5-minute devotion that Spurgeon gave years ago is playing on sermon audio through somebody's audio file that did it. And you know what? I'm listening to it, and he says, "Watchmen, what of the night? What of the night? Guard yourself against heresy. Guard yourself. Amen. Be alert.
Amen.
Amen.
Guard yourself against the intruder.
That's right.
Amen.
Watchmen, what of the night? Consider what Paul said to the bishops and elders that were gathered together in Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28. He said, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood.
Amen.
For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." They're not going to spare the flock.
Nope.
No, they won't. That's why the dog has to bark loud.
Yep.
That's why the dog has to growl sometimes.
Right?
Yeah. He's got to bare his teeth sometimes.
Right.
Why are you getting so mad, preacher? Why are you getting so excited, preacher? What are you so angry about, preacher? Because, you know what? There's some wolves coming in. And you got to bare your teeth when wolves come in.
Right.
You got to bare your teeth when wolves come in.
Amen.
Yep.
Right.
Right.
You know what that dog says in his mind? That dog is overplaying its mind over and over again? Not on my watch.
Yeah,
not I watch.
That's right.
You ain't coming through here. This is my ground. Right?
Amen.
So you claim that ground for the Lord, and you say, you know what? No, you're not coming here.
Amen.
You stand upon that wall and you say, no, we're here to protect this city, and you're not coming in here.
Amen.
Amen.
Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch.
Amen.
He is talking to the bishops and the elders. He is telling them, watch. This is coming. Watch. Watch for it. Be ready for it. Be a watchman. Pay attention. Be alert.
Amen.
Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. What does Paul say? Paul said, I warned you for 3 years. The last 3 years I had, I warned you that this was coming. I warned you to be careful of wolves. I warned you to be careful of these that would creep in. And of your own selves shall men arise, speak. I warned you. Paul said he warned them for 3 years. Night and day. No, you don't need to talk about that apostasy stuff very long. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that, preacher. Come on. Just what do you got to talk about that for? You know what some lady said to me today on there? She sent me a message. She said, there ain't no doctrine in heaven.
What?
There ain't no doctrine in
heaven. And she's telling me that I'm wrong for talking about CT. That's what, I'm like, is that the fruit of the revival?
We're just going to worship. Yeah. One of us, some of us, none of them know anything about the Bible.
Okay. Among other things that happened. But anyway, I was just like, really? You actually just said that to me? Why are we having a conversation? Because this is not working. Paul said to watch. And he said for those pastors, those bishops, and those elders to watch. There to be warning. Watchmen, what of the night? Watchmen, what of the night? I've never seen so much either willful or dulled senses concerning imminent danger coming in churches today and dumb dogs that cannot bark as I see now. I'm amazed that nobody cares about apostasy. They don't warn. How come none of these pastors... You know what somebody sent me a message and said? Everybody loves Billy Graham down south. Nobody's ever said anything bad to me about Billy Graham. That's what somebody wrote. I said, here's a sermon. Here's a website. Go read up on Billy. Yeah, they'll lie about Billy Graham, right?
Yeah,
exactly. They worship Billy Graham down there. So I basically took their calf,
right.
Stomped it at the Brook Kidron, right? Stamped it to powder and made them drink it.
Amen.
And it was bitter in their belly.
Amen.
Right? Bitter. Then let's go, let's liken this back. You know, they are yoked, these people, they are yoked up and see no need to warn about apostates like Billy Graham. I mean, everybody is, there's so many Southern people that are upset with me right now about warning about Billy Graham. They totally ignore all the facts.
Yep.
Right? Totally ignore all the facts of what's going on and say, I don't like your delivery. Really? Well, why don't you mind them snorting and running around and hacking up loogies and everything they do? Why? What's wrong with my delivery? They yell.
Right.
Oh, I guess what they're yelling about that you don't mind.
Right.
You don't mind the hooping and the hollering up. You just don't want any substance.
Right.
That's
right.
What it is. You don't want anything with substance.
Yeah,
right.
Amen.
Don't talk about my sin, preacher.
Right.
Stay away from that, and I'll be just fine. You can yell about whatever you want to. Just don't yell about sin. Just don't be specific. Just don't name names, and you'll be fine. But that's not according to the Scriptures.
Right.
They don't want to be... None of these pastors, they don't want to warn about Billy Graham and others who deny the flames of hell, those Jesuit coadjutors, and they preach a false ecumenical Roman Catholic doctrine. No, don't warn about Billy. Man, I'll tell you what, that's what everybody told me even up here, because Billy's from here. Billy's university that he was president of is right here, Northwestern. And I'll tell you what, don't talk about Billy Graham. You don't put down the Pope here, and don't put down Billy Graham. Well, that's the first thing I want to do.
Yep.
Well, let me just knock these two idols off real quick.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Just knock these two idols off. No, you can't do that in Minnesota. Oh, yeah? I'm telling you, it's one of the first things I did was speak against Billy Graham and the Pope.
That's what he's saying. You can't talk about Jezebel.
Yeah, exactly. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 17 says this, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. For what? For they watch for your souls.
Right.
As they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you.
Right.
You need to be in a church where a watchman is there watching over your soul as one that must give an account. One that understands that he has a responsibility to give an account for your soul. One that will not suffer sin upon you. One day you young men have to understand, if God calls you and the church ordains you after the gifts and qualifications are clearly seen, that you'll have an awesome responsibility to watch for someone's soul. You'll be watching for their souls. And you'll have to give an account.
Yep.
Watchmen, what of the night? What is the danger, O watchmen? What is the danger? And what has gone on in the night? All these things being done in the dark are now manifesting in the light. You know what? Everybody wants to ignore the facts of apostasy and everything that's going on. Just like that revival that they had down there, right? Nobody wants to talk about how CT came out and explicitly, I mean, very clearly said, I praise Billy Graham and his ministry. I thank God for all the work that Billy Graham's done in America. Really? And Franklin Graham.
What kind of work?
Yeah, we know what kind of work he's done. We know what kind of work he's done. Go watch the video. We have a video on it. Short video that was made, 6 minutes long. Go watch it. You'll see. It has enough facts in there for you to do your own investigating afterwards.
Amen.
One of the pastor's main responsibilities is to watch. It is required of him that he watch for your soul, that he watch as one that will give an account, that he will stand before God one day. Do you not see why we are careful who we baptize here and enter into the assembly as members? Do you not understand why we're very careful here? Because I will give an account for all who enter and come under this church and all who will be under this watch.
Amen.
Just as watchmen in the night watches for all that are in the city, that they not be unprepared for the attacks on the city and the little ones and the women and the children be destroyed. Because see, that's what's happening today. You got a bunch of young people that are upset and they're angry and they're mad because somebody preached against that revival down there, but they don't know why they're angry.
Right.
All they do is send messages about yelling, about being mad and insulting me. There's something wrong with you. I don't know what's wrong with you. There's something wrong. You don't got the love of Jesus in you. That's what's wrong with you. Why? Because I tell you the truth. I'm just straightforward and I tell you the truth.
Right.
I'm sorry. Your pastor down south must have said bless your heart 450 times and never dealt with your sin.
Right.
Amen.
Because
guess what? They do it up north here too, okay? They don't deal with sin up here either. And no, I don't think I'm the only one. You think you're the only one. So basically, this is what it comes down to, Brother Finney. If you say anything, if you reprove, if you rebuke, if you expose the wicked works of darkness, if you do anything like that, well, you're just proud and arrogant. There's something wrong with you. You're just proud and arrogant. That's a tactic to shut you up so you don't say anything.
Right.
Well, guess what? You ain't shut me up and you ain't going to shut me up.
Because
by the grace of God, I'll just keep going.
Right.
And other men here will too.
Yep.
Why? Because we're not scared of somebody falsely accusing us.
Amen.
The people of God get falsely accused all the time.
Amen.
Come with your facts.
Right.
Come. It's like everybody, oh, that church is a cult. That church is a cult. That, prove it.
Right.
Still waiting. Still waiting for them to come and prove it. Still waiting for them to step up and grab a King James Bible and prove it and sit down.
Right.
Not even with me if you don't like me. Sit down with everybody else. I don't even have to be there.
Amen.
I'm not worried about it.
That's right.
Amen.
We don't want to talk about that, do we? Why? We don't want to talk about warning people. Why? Because preachers don't want to warn people today. Because they don't want to lose anybody. It's about corporate America. It's about staying in the corporation. It's about keeping everything working. Dumb dogs that cannot bark. Greedy dogs. Watchmen, what of the night? The preacher, he's to watch for your soul. One man said it this way. They have no selfish aim in this. They do not seek to lord it over God's heritage. It is for your own good that they do this, and you should therefore submit to these arrangements. And this is also the true principle on which authority should be exercised in a church. It should be in such a way as to promote the salvation of the people, and all the arrangements should be with that end. The measures adopted, therefore, and the obedience enjoined should not be arbitrary, oppressive, or severe, but should be such as will really promote salvation. That ought to be the goal. You know, the office of a watchman is one of appointment. That bishop, that pastor, and those. It is not one of self-appointment. Right. The watchman is appointed by the city. You remember that? There's a church that appoints that, right?
Yep.
So it is with the watchman in the house of God or the pastor. He is appointed to that position, not self-appointed.
Right.
Yeah, no YouTube pastors. Bishops are examined and qualified and then placed into the office of a bishop or a watchman as they've been examined to meet those qualifications as a watcher of men's souls. The office of a watchman is one of trust. You must be able to trust the watchman. You must know that he will sound the alarm. When duty calls, he will be there day or night, and you can trust that.
Amen.
You must be able to trust his judgment. Trust that he will not fall asleep on the job and let the city get invaded.
Right.
He'll bring out the shepherd's rod and execute that sacred duty.
Yep.
It's one thing people don't like to say, oh, don't bring out the shepherd's rod. They give this funny and weird and strange idea of what a watchman is supposed to be. Like basic somebody that's asleep, that's sleepy, that's not really doing, that doesn't get that excited. By the way, can I help you with something? I want to help you with something. Paul was very clear about one thing, and what was that? He said, those that err in the faith rebuke sharply, that they be sound in the faith.
Yeah.
Rebuke sharply, he said. That's what he told them.
Yeah. Amen.
That they may be sound in the faith.
Right.
He didn't say, oh, you know what? Approach them with kids' gloves. Be very kind. Don't say anything too abrasive to them. No. He said rebuke them sharply. Why? Because it's dangerous.
Hey.
Right.
Dangerous apostasy. And a watchman knows the danger is coming and he wants to warn them.
Amen.
Yeah.
Not fall asleep on the job, of which you will look at in a few minutes here. The office of a watchman is one of responsibility. There is a sacred duty for a watchman. That duty is one responsibility. It's a sacred one. God help us understand the importance of that sacred duty. I'm amazed how angry men get when you try to obey that duty to watch.
Right.
It's like nothing gets him excited. Nothing gets him angry. Is it all the fluoride? What is it? I mean, I don't know. It's like nothing. They say, well, you're mad. Well, man, can't you get mad? Do you get mad about anything? Oh, I know what you get mad about. You get mad about me telling you the truth about Billy Graham, but you don't get mad about Billy Graham.
That's right.
Yep.
Right.
You get mad about somebody calling out apostasy, but you're not mad at apostasy.
Right.
Yep.
You're not zealous of good works. You're not zealous for the Lord. You're not zealous for the Lord's house. That's a problem, friend.
Amen.
A watchman or watchman, men set for a guard, either one person or more, set to espy the approach of an enemy or other danger and to give an alarm or notice of such danger. A sentinel, a guard. He kept a watch at the gate, says Webster's Dictionary. Ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can. Matthew 27:65. The place where a guard is kept, it's a watch. He upbraids, says one, and I go, that he made him brave, me upon the watch. Post, or an office of a watchman, as I did stand my watch upon the hill. A period of the night in which one person or one set of persons stands as sentinels, or the time from one relief or sentinels to another. This period among the Israelites seems to have been originally 4 hours, but was afterwards 3 hours, and there were four watches during the night. Hence we read in Scripture of the morning watch and a second, third, and fourth watch. The evening watch commencing at 6 o'clock, the second at 9, the third at 12, and the fourth at 3 in the morning. There was a watch all night. Who's watching for the sheep today?
Right. Amen.
You know, who's watching for them? Darkness is coming. And we see it. We see dark times that we're living in. And who's watching? Why are there so many? Why should it be a surprise that one preacher preaches against Billy Graham or two preachers preach against? Where are all the Baptists preaching against Billy Graham? You've got David Cloud, you've got a few others I know, but where are all the Baptists preaching against Billy Graham?
Right.
And warning people of the apostasy?
Right.
Then they just mock you and make funny, oh, you think everybody's a Jesuit? Well, a lot of them are.
Right.
A lot of them are.
Amazing.
But see, the only thing is we have proof for it. What's your proof that they're not?
Yeah.
Where's your proof at? We can show you proof. When we say something, we just don't blanketly say it. We prove it. You don't want to know, though. You don't want to know who's tied up into this. You don't want to know who's tied up into that mess. You don't want to know that all these Jesuits are on modern Bible perversions on their committees and have been on them for years.
Uh-oh.
You don't want to know those things. You don't want to know that Billy got his degree from a Catholic university. Met with the Pope and said he's a great guy. He's the greatest evangelist ever. Yeah, for the devil he is.
Amen.
Then I got people sending me messages saying they're going to come beat me up because of it. Come on, give me a break. Somebody said, oh, you're whining about it. Well, first of all, number one, I'm not whining about it because I ain't scared of it. That's the first thing you have to understand. I'm not afraid.
Amen.
I'm not afraid of some big guy down south that says he's going to come beat me up. Okay, I'm not afraid of that. All right? I mean, first of all, you got to be kind of crazy anyway to admit that you want to beat some preacher up online. That's just weird. Yeah, for telling the truth. And then you say you had revival. Some good revival there. So the Bible says that that a preacher is to watch for your soul. Set for a guard upon your soul, to guard you against error, against heresy, against imminent dangers of enemies within and without of the church. To be alert, to be awake, and to be ready to warn you of enemies that are on or that are near. Or when any spiritual danger is near, to watch for your soul.
Amen.
Part of the problem is that nobody wants to say the hard thing.
Yep.
It really is the problem. If there's anything that I hope you young men understand, if there's anything that I can get you to understand here, by the grace of God, I want you to understand this. You have got to understand that you must say the hard thing.
Right.
In private and in public.
Amen.
Not just a show on the pulpit and not do it in private.
Right.
It's both. You have to square your shoulders, you have to look straight at people, and you have to tell them the truth no matter what the cost is.
Amen.
Right.
Yep. Right.
And if you're not willing to do that, then you've not, and you count the cost and you deem it not worth it, then do not enter the ministry.
Amen.
Right.
Admit it and say, I am not willing to count that cost.
Amen.
Amen.
Because it is not fun.
Right.
And it is not easy.
Right.
And people will hate you for it.
Right.
Yep.
People will leave. People will be angry. It'll happen. I'm to sound an alarm in the middle of the darkest time in the deepest apostasy to warn them. Now let me ask you, that warning, is it a warning that is quiet? Or is it an alert that danger is approaching? You think about that. What kind of a warning is that? What kind of a warning is it when apostasy is coming? What kind of a warning is that? Well, I don't know. If there was a danger in the night at your house, would you want to, if your house was on fire, would you want somebody frantically banging down your door to get inside and to warn you that your house was on fire? Or would you want them to be, well,
I don't want to wait.
Excuse me, neighbor.
If you're awake.
I really don't want to impose upon you, but it appears your house is burning down. You want to evacuate as soon as possible. Is that what you would do? Or if you saw somebody grabbing a child to kidnap them, is that what you would do? Would just be real quiet and real,
hey,
that looks like trouble. Would you be like Ben Stein, or is that his name? No. Yeah, that guy. Is that who you would be, is like that guy? You would just have no emotions? Just, hey, trouble there. No! You would yell! You would sound the alarm. You would make sure everyone in the city heard it. And that's how aggressive you're to be when apostasy comes. When you see danger, when you see things approaching, when you see that heresy, you are to sound the alarm.
Amen.
It should be a passion. It should be passionate, as passionate as if an intruder came into my home in the night, and you're going to alert everyone to it.
Right.
It should be that passionate, as passionate as a man going into a burning building and you warn him that, hey, you're going into a building, it's going to burn down. As passionate as a man that his soul is ready to step into a devil's hell.
Right.
Yeah.
Watch and warn the soul of those. Those that are within and those that are without. so they may be swayed by the evil or seduced into apostasy and carnality and foolishness if you don't warn them. Oh no, don't do that. I know people don't like being warned. I've been pastor long enough to understand that people don't like being told the truth. They don't like being warned about things.
Right.
That's why a lot of people inform you of decisions they're making instead of asking for some advice.
Right.
A lot of times they just inform you of what they're going to do. Well, this is what I'm going to do. Okay. Thanks for telling me. And then they look to see what my response will be. Now, that's not for me to say, well, I want to be a part of all your decisions, because I don't have time to do that, okay? I don't have that desire at all, period. But what I'm saying is that if there's trouble or something, and then you already make a decision and you get into more trouble, but then you just tell me, inform me of that trouble, then that's not really a good thing. Right?
Right.
If I knew something of, if I knew something of how to help you, or if Lee knew something how to help you, or Brother Finney knew how to something help you, or Brother Nate or anybody else knew how to help you, I would expect you, or Brother Roy, I would expect you to go talk to them, get some advice before you make those decisions.
Counsel.
Right? Counsel, that's right. I would expect you to do that. If you're going to buy a car or something, I'd expect you to talk to Brother Roy, Brother David, I'd expect you to talk to some people. If you're going to do some kind of work, I'd expect you to talk to them. I wouldn't expect you just to do it. When I was looking for a truck, I didn't just go out and say, okay, I'm going to go get a truck and I'm going to go do it myself. That would have been bad. David's laughing because he knows it would have been bad. You're all laughing because you know it would be bad. But I didn't do that. I had somebody go with me. Amen. Somebody that knew what to look for. I had them help me get it. Amen.
Amen.
Why? Because I don't have to have all the answers. I don't have to be the one that does it, but I'm not going to be naive. You got to watch. You got to be alert. You got to be thinking. You got to be sober-minded, which, by the way, all ties into watching, and we'll get to that. For they watch for your souls. They stay armed as a guard and watch and are alert. Just like we meet here, right? Even though we meet in a public, in a place that we rent here, and it's out in front there, we still have men that are watching.
Right.
Just so you know, they're watching very closely. More than one of them.
Amen.
Ought to be as clear as I possibly can be.
Come on down, brother.
Amen.
Ought to be as clear as I possibly can be. For they watch for your soul as they that must give an account. They watch not for themselves, for their worldly gain and advantage, and for their estates of men, but for the souls of men, to do them good, to comfort and edify them, to feed them with knowledge and understanding, and for the salvation of them, as such that must give an account to their own consciences, that they discharge their work aright, or they cannot be satisfied, and to the church to whom they minister, to whom they are accountable, if they are negligent, and especially as such as must stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account to him of their ministry, of their use of talents. So you forgive me if I really don't care if you get mad at me for warning you.
Amen.
Right. Great.
You forgive me if others get angry because you sound an alarm and others get mad. Too bad. I don't answer to them.
Right.
I don't answer to your mom, your dad, your grandma, your grandpa, and every other family member that don't like me. Because guess what? I got a whole family too that doesn't like me too. So that's fine.
Amen.
Amen. It's fine with me. I've already resolved that, you know what? I'm following Christ.
Amen.
And if that makes you mad, you can call me whatever name you want to. But one thing you won't accuse me of is not warning people.
Amen.
See, I don't like how you warn them. Most people don't when they're asleep.
Right.
Most people when they're sleeping, they don't like to be warned. We'll talk about that.
Amen.
We have to give an account of the judgment seat, how we discharge the duty to the souls of men, and how these have behaved towards them under the ministry of the word. The watchman stays awake so you do not sleep. Did you catch that? I didn't say so you sleep. I said the watchman stays awake so you don't sleep.
Right.
Wow. The watchman has to stay awake so you don't fall asleep.
Right.
And give in to the times. We have so much worldliness. And if you preach against worldliness, man, I've heard it all week this week. You know what I've heard all week this week? You just think you're holy. Well, I want to be.
Amen.
Is that a bad thing?
Yeah,
is that, be ye holy, for I the Lord your God am holy. That's what he said. I want to be, what would you rather me be, worldly? Would that make you, oh, I get it, that would make you like me more if I was worldly. So somebody said, you think you're, he said, I'll put my church's spirituality against yours all day long. Well, who's in a contest, first of all? What kind of weird statement is that? Who said it was a contest? I mean, I'm not racing against you. I'm racing for the mark, for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm not racing against you. It's not a competition. I'm trying to warn you that there's a wolf in the camp, and you and thousands of you showed up to a meeting. And by the way, pastors, there was hundreds of pastors there, 60 of you pastors there, and you all clapped for Billy Graham. You all clapped and you all praised it when he praised Billy Graham's work and Franklin Graham's work. You all clapped. I got it on video. So don't get mad at me if you got a bunch of dumb dogs down there that won't bark. They wouldn't bark.
Not one of them.
Every single one of those pastors should have stood up out of that meeting and said, this is out of order, and walked out of that thing. But instead, in the name of revival, they all stuck around. Why? Because I'll tell you what it is. It's a worship of revival and not a worship of Christ. It's a worship of wanting the feelings stoked up and everything getting fiery and excited and everything else. But not about Christ. Not about seeing Christ. Not about seeing the truth in the Scriptures. Not about laying down sin. We'll get to that another day. I got to keep going. For they watch. His meaning is that the heavier the burden they bear, the more honor they deserve. For the more labor anyone undertakes for our sake, and the more difficulty and danger he incurs for us, the greater our obligations to him. And such is the office of bishops, that it involves the greatest labor and the greatest danger. If then we wish to be grateful, we can hardly render to that which is due, and especially as they are to give an account of us to God. It would be disgraceful for us to make no account of them. You know, I don't like preaching on things like that very often, but it is necessary so you understand what your duties are to a bishop. Because someday some of you are gonna pastor a church, or some of you, or maybe I'll be gone, and you have to understand the duties that God has. There are duties that are included for the church to their pastors and to their elders and to the responsibilities that they have. That's very important. It's very important you understand that. Because when you don't, you lose the blessings of God.
Amen.
All right. So watchmen should stay awake so you don't go to sleep. Sleepy saints don't like to be awakened, though, do they? But in order to fulfill the duties of that sacred office, it is important not to let people of God go to sleep in this world. And so many are asleep. Like George Whitfield said, only a loud voice.
Amen.
Wake them up. You know what? You need somebody that spits and grunts and screams and hollers about the things of God. Not about hooping and hollering things up, but about sin, about wickedness, about evil, about getting right with God, about holiness, righteousness, truth, godliness, separation from this wicked world.
Amen.
Why? Because you know what? You live in sin when it's not preached on.
That's right.
You are comfortable with your sin when a preacher don't preach on it. You're real comfortable with your sin. You know when you're not comfortable with it is when you start squirming when that preacher starts preaching on sin. And it's not very comfortable. You know, I know the greatest effects of sermons are the ones that people are silent in. They don't say much. Like this Sunday when I preach on the weaker vessel. Honoring the wife as the weaker vessel. I think that'll be a quiet one. No, you're not going to be sickly.
You don't get to plan that.
I'll be watching.
That's like planning a revival.
That's right. But sleepy saints, they don't like to be awakened out of their sleep. 1 Thessalonians 5:6. The Bible says, therefore, let us not sleep as do others. Let us watch and be sober. Listen, to warn somebody to be a watchman is to warn them to be sober. It's a call to soberness.
Amen.
I'm telling you, there's so much nonsense going on today, so many gospel games going on today, so much of the world and the church, soul wars.
Yep. Yeah, I saw that. What?
For vacation Bible times. What are vacation Bible times now? What are they reduced down to? A 1-2-3 repeat for me, and some worldly game that's given some type of Christian attributes. You try to add it to Christianity to it. Oh, I'm gonna make some people mad now. Don't kick over that sacred cow of VBT, man. Woo wee!
Kick it right over.
Don't do that, man. Don't kick that one over. Why? Because it's a bunch of games. So you don't believe in having fun? No, I take my family out to have fun. I take my family out to do things.
Right.
And you know what? We as church get together and have activities and do things together. Sure.
Right.
But not an evangelistic thing where I bring in a bunch of children that we don't know into the church house.
Right.
I go out there and preach to them. That's where it's supposed to be done. I had one guy get upset at me. He said, well, I got saved as a bus kid. And I know. He goes, I've watched, and you're full of pride because I got saved as a bus kid, and you don't even do the bus route. You won't do this stuff. And I think there's a lot of pride in which, really? No, I think it's just Bible. Read Ephesians 4.
Right.
Read what the Word of God says about what the church, the purpose of the church is.
Amen.
It's not to shuffle in the lost.
Amen.
If the lost happen to come in, praise God. That's fine. But you know what? We don't gear our services and gear our church. You know why you got a bunch of sleepy saints? Because they're all being rocked to sleep by nothing. That's why.
Right.
By a bunch of gospel games and frivolous nonsense that goes on.
Amen.
I've been a part of those VBTs where 300 kids get saved, make professions of faith. They call them saved. They pronounce them all saved. And I've been on the bus with those kids afterwards. You know what they're talking about? Their Hail Marys and everything else. They're Catholics still, a lot of them.
And their wickedness.
They didn't get saved from anything.
Because
you told them they got saved from hell, not their sin problem.
Right.
That's right.
Amen.
That's not popular preaching, is it?
Yeah.
But it's necessary.
Amen.
Yep.
Look what the Bible says. It's a call to soberness. It's part of the duty of the watchman to call men to be sober. Be sober 8 times in the Scriptures. Listen, be sober. Be serious. Think, have a reasonable estimation of who you really are. Look in the mirror and see that you and I are not perfect. You and I have problems, and you and I have to repent and get right with God and lay down nonsense out of our lives so we can serve the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life.
Right.
Amen.
You know, here's the problem. Here's what nobody's, they're not warring.
Right. Amen.
They don't want a war.
Yep.
They want this Christian life to be just a cakewalk.
Yep.
And hey, I like cake too. I love cake. No, seriously, I do. Bake me a cake. I'll eat it. Maybe not. Don't send me a cake. I might get poisoned. Don't do that. Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah, from within the church. We'll bake you a cake. Some southern boy will bake me a cake. Got your cake, preacher.
Made of
botulism.
They want to be happy. Don't worry.
That's right. They want to be happy. They don't want. They want everything to go smoothly.
Yeah.
No problems.
Yeah.
But not be sober. Not understand what's coming.
No.
Not be prepared for war.
No.
Pastors are not preparing people for war. They're preparing them for defeat.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
To live in defeat
and
to accept your defeat. Accept your spiritual defeat. Accept that you're just a fallen creature and you can't get up and fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life because you're just a failure and you can't do it. You're a sinner, so that's just what you are, and that's what you have to live the rest of your life like.
Right.
Sorry. I don't believe that.
Amen.
I don't believe that.
That's right.
If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life.
Amen.
You're a soldier in a war. Start acting like it. Buck up, Sally.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right. Bunch of effeminate Ahabs. I agree with some of the things you say. I just don't like the way you say it. Well, then please, make a video and go out and say it then.
Yeah.
Say it the right way. Where's your video on Billy Graham? Where's your video on apostasy? Where's your video on it? Where's your sermon on all those things? Please, show me the right way to do it.
Amen.
They're not going to do it. Why? Because they're not warring against anything.
Right.
That's why. They're not in a battle. They're not in a fight. They just want to run their mouth and put you down and tell you how they don't like the way you do it.
Right.
Well, quit listening and go do it yourself.
Amen.
Yeah, amen.
John the Baptist said it.
Show us how.
Yeah, how did John the Baptist warn about it?
Generation of vipers.
How did Jesus warn about it?
Right.
How did the Apostle Paul talk about wolves that enter in?
Right.
It says here, for they that sleep, sleep in the night. How about it? They that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. What's he talking about? He's not talking. I personally don't think he's talking about booze there. He's using an analogy. What's he talking about? People that are intoxicated with the affairs of this life.
Yep.
That's what he's talking about. Yeah. He's saying they're sleeping. They're asleep.
Yep.
They can't fight.
Right. Yep.
They're intoxicated and they're sleeping in the night.
Amen. Yep.
They're not sober. They're not watching.
Right.
They're not ready for war. Because this is just a cakewalk.
Yep.
It's your best life now.
Right.
Independent Baptist style.
Fundy
style.
Oh boy.
But let us who are of the day be sober.
Amen.
Right. Yep.
Be awake.
Amen.
That's what a watchman does. He calls men to soberness. And that's the problem. That's what they don't want. They don't want to be serious.
Right.
No. We want the Dollywood games. We want the entertainment. We want the amusement. Our youth groups are based today around nothing but amusement and entertainment. You say that all the time, preacher. I know, because it ain't going away.
That's right.
I used to be sad when people used to come here and be like, well, you don't have a youth group. And I'd be like, no. I don't have a youth group. But if you'd stay, I'd have one.
Such a loser.
But then you know what happened? Yeah, I'm such a loser. I don't have a youth group. Do you know what happened? I started studying the Bible, and I was like, wait a minute. Hang on a second. There ain't no youth group in that Bible. There ain't no youth pastor in that Bible.
Nope.
There ain't no gospel games in that book.
Nope.
All the wickedness that goes in.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I remember. Hey, I seen it. I brought somebody to a bus route that I was on. I was captain of a bus route there and brought him into the church house there. At a church I was at, went inside and somebody came looking for me. Came back down there and they said, hey, one of your bus girls are in the back seat with a man downstairs, with a young man downstairs. Back seat of a car.
Right.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
They don't want to be sober though. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for the helmet, the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation.
Amen.
The Bible says the bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober.
Yep.
He's got to alert them. If your church is full of gospel games and prizes, then it's not sober.
Right.
We're called to be sober. First, by the way, that's his call. He's to tell men to be sober, women to be sober, everybody in the church to be sober, to be serious, to understand the battle that's ahead.
Amen.
1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanders, sober.
Yep.
Serious.
Yep.
Yeah, not drunk, obviously we understand that, but not intoxicated with this world either.
Okay.
Not going to Dollywood?
No.
Wow.
Listen. If you took your family to a park on a vacation, I understand that, okay? I just went on a vacation a few months ago. Month ago, whatever it was. I don't know how long it was. I understand that. I'm not against that. But churches don't meet together to go on vacation. Youth groups don't meet together centered around around corny games and prizes.
Yep.
Are you preparing them for life? You're supposed to be. You're supposed to be. No, you're not. What are you preparing them for? Entertainment, amusement. Well, that's how they come in. They'll come in. If you do that, you'll have a big youth group. Yeah, a bunch of wicked devils.
Yep.
Running around fornicating like a bunch of dogs in heat.
Yep.
Because that's what happens when you take boys and girls and throw them together with entertainment.
Yep.
Now the sodomites are coming in.
And now the sodomites are coming in. Hey, that was happening back when I first got saved. There was a young man that was a sodomite coming to the youth group there. Nobody knew he was a sodomite. I looked at him one time and I said, man, that dude's fruity. I mean, I came off the street, drugging, gangbanging, all that's kind of hanging around gangbangers. All that. I said, man, he's a queer. The preacher looked at me like, what? I was like, yeah. I mean, you can't tell? Nope, can't tell. The watcher is to teach men to be sober and women to be sober. Titus chapter 2, verse number 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience.
Amen.
The aged women likewise, that they be in behaviors that becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober. Why? Because young women get very frivolous and very lighthearted and very goofy and very they're not sober.
Right.
They're not sober minded. They want to play games and be giddy and not think about their life. Think about the future. Think about preparing themselves for the responsibilities that they have. Today men are intoxicated with sports idolatry, movies, music, entertainment, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Watchmen, what of the night? First Peter chapter 4, verse number 7 says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober.
Amen.
And watch. That's what a watchman does. He watches.
Amen.
And he warns them to be sober and watch unto prayer.
Amen.
We'll talk about that. Watchmen, call men to be sober. You awaken them to danger that is coming or near. But you have to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. You think the devil's afraid of the gospel games in the youth department?
He made him up.
No, he's behind it. Right? You think he's afraid of that? You think he's scared of that? You think he's even challenged by that? No. He goes ahead and pushes that and promotes it and makes everybody comfortable with it.
Right, yeah, that's right.
Right, because it's funny, because he's not afraid of them.
Yep.
Because they're like a pit bull with no teeth.
That's right.
What are you going to do, gum them to death?
Yeah.
Amen.
You can't fight the devil like that. He knows it, so he doesn't bother you. You call men to be sober-minded. That means come out from your sports idolatry, your entertainment, and other things, and wake up, thou sleeper. Turn to Jonah chapter 1, verse number 6. Jonah chapter 1, verse number 6. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper?
Amen.
That's the question of the night. What meanest thou, O sleeper? That's the question. You know why? You know what stirs up? You know what this stuff did with Billy Graham and rebuking this revival? You know what it does? It makes the sleepers wake up a little bit.
Yeah,
they get a little mad.
Amen.
They got to start thinking.
Yep.
Why? Because what are you doing? You're shaking them like this, and you're saying, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Wake up!
Amen.
Wake up!
Right.
It's like that one, wake up.
Yeah.
Not quite that.
Right? Right? Wake up. But don't wake me out of my sleep. I don't want to be awakened out of my sleep.
Sleeping in the night.
They want to sleep on, don't they? What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us that we perish not.
Wow.
But too many people are sleeping. No watchman to wake them up. No watchman to wake them up. Watchman, what of the night? He further reminds us in what a great concern their labor may avail us. For if the salvation of our souls be precious to us, they ought by no means to be deemed of no account who watch for it. He also bids us to be teachable and ready to obey, that what pastors do in consequence of what their office demands, they may also willingly and joyfully do. For if they have their minds restrained by grief or weariness, though they may be sincere and faithful, they will yet become disheartened and careless. You know what a lot of pastors do? They get discouraged and they give up the fight.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because everybody turns on them and gets against them. If they take over a church, some of them, if they take over the pastorate of a church somewhere, and they wanna rid the church of apostasy and wickedness and frivolous things and all that stuff, the people come against them and they discourage them. And then people that have been with them a long time start pounding them down, so until eventually they're just like, okay, I'm done. I'll stop fighting. And they beat down on the pastors. So they just give up. So they're like, okay, And they give up and they walk away because they're discouraged.
Yep.
It would be unprofitable to the people to cause sorrow and mourning to their pastors by their ingratitude. And he did this that he might intimate to us that we cannot be troublesome or disobedient to our pastors without hazarding our own souls. As hardly one in ten considers this, it is hence evident how great generally is the neglect of salvation. Nor is it a wonder how few at the day are found who strenuously watch over the church of God. For besides, there are very few who are like Paul, who have their mouth open when the people's ears are closed. This is A.W. Pink writing this. I don't agree with everything A.W. Pink said, but the one thing I do agree is what he's saying here. He was a man that opened his mouth wide when the fundies came in with their shallow, very, very, very shallow salvation messages.
Yep. Right.
They're 1, 2, 3, and A.W. Pink said, you know what? No, this is wrong. And he opened his mouth wide, and people were angry, and they stopped their ears, and they stiffened their necks, and they hardened their hearts, and they hated him for it.
Amen.
They're like, oh, no, they hate him because he was a Calvinist. No, they hated him because he lifted up the sovereignty of God.
Yep.
Now, he had his errors. I understand. My point is, they hated him because of what he was saying. His message was very clear. They hated it.
Right.
Yep.
Amen.
Let us then remember that we are suffering the punishment of our own perverseness whenever pastors grow cold in their duty or are less diligent than they ought to be.
Miracle.
That's right. That's right. The word used is peculiar to this place, and it denotes a watchfulness with the greatest care and diligence, and that not without trouble or danger, as Jacob kept and watched the flock of Laban in the night. The true under-shepherds of Christ have no selfish aims, but rather the spiritual and eternal good of those who are entrusted to their care. Many a minister of the gospel is often awake, burning midnight oil while the members of his flock are asleep. Many a one can say, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. The ministerial office is no idler's one. It makes demands on heart, mind, and nervous energy such as none other does.
Right, yep.
They watch for your souls as they that must give an account. Supplies a further motive. They are placed in a position of trust, commissioned by the Lord, to whom they are immediately responsible. They often render an account to Him now, keeping up a constant intercourse with Him, spreading before Him the state and needs of His people, seeking supplies of grace. A full and final account must be rendered of their stewardship in the day to come. Unspeakably solemn consideration is that, and this is that which actuates them, for they watch for the souls of their church as those who give account. They bear in mind the awful warning of Ezekiel chapter 33, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 33, please. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse number 1. Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts, and set him for their watchman, if then he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet of the people, be not warned. If the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Watchmen have to warn.
Yep.
They have to. Why? Because they're going to stand before God. And I guarantee you, you don't have an ugly enough look that can compare to the disgrace that a pastor will face if he does not warn people in heaven.
Right.
The ugly looks that is made, the lies that are told about the preacher, the lies that are told about this church, all of those things cannot add up to the fact that one day I will stand before God and give an account. And you're not going to be there for me to look at or look to or blame, or let's say, well, Lord, they didn't want to hear it, or they didn't like this, or they didn't like that. Doesn't matter.
Right.
I'm going to be standing facing the Lord.
Yep.
With my head bowed. Again, Paul said, Take heed therefore unto yourselves, and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn every one night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. He said, watch for wolves. Yep. We are to watch for the wolves that will come in. Be they in the assembly, be they online, which everyone has access to today, by the way. We have to warn against wolves. The dangerous wolves that come in to destroy the sheep. We have to warn against the perverse doctrines of the day and the heresy that is being taught. Men that speak perverse things to draw men after them. Watch, he said. You must watch for damnable heresies, false doctrine, and evil that will creep in and arise from among the saints to destroy them. Watchmen, what of the night? Beware of phony revivals that are yoked up with the Billy Graham Association. Beware of brethren that are not willing to practice secondary separation.
Amen.
And warn about compromise.
Amen.
The Bible says that we are to separate from those that walk unruly,
Amen.
That walk not according to this doctrine.
Amen.
The doctrine that ye have received.
Right.
Right? To earnestly contend for the faith which is once delivered unto the saints. Earnestly contend. Fervently with fire and dedication and devotion.
Amen.
Earnestly contend for the faith. They must watch. Pastors must warn of apostasy. They must warn of compromise. They must watch and warn the unruly. What happens when the watchman warns? Backlash. People that are sleeping don't like to be awakened out of their sleep. Why are you getting so excited, preacher? Why do you care so much? Why don't you just leave him alone and let God deal with it? Why don't you just let God deal with it, preacher? Why don't you just let God deal with it? Because God told me to deal with it, that's why.
Amen.
God told me to warn. Are you waiting from a voice from heaven to tell you to do something? It's all right here. God already told you what to do in his book.
Amen.
You're looking for some kind of other sign or something else? You're going to blame God for all this mess. God already told us in his word what we're to do, that we're to warn.
Amen.
And Billy Graham is a wolf.
Amen.
When you stand up on stage with President Clinton and tell him he should have been an evangelist, and he should have left Hillary to run the country, do you find that ironic that this is all coming around now like that? I don't. Oh, there you go with that conspiracy stuff again. Now you're getting spooky with that conspiracy stuff again. That's right. The churches are apostatizing right before our eyes. We're seeing the falling away right here before our eyes. Bringing in witchcraft into the church, CCM, sodomites. Somebody said to me, well, everybody knows what you're against, but everybody always hears what you're against. You're just against everything. I said, well, if you're trying to imply that I'm not teaching doctrine, go back and listen to the local church series that I just preached. Go back and listen to the Christology series that I just preached.
Baptism.
Go back and listen to the marriage sermons that I'm preaching.
Yeah.
Listen to the baptism sermon. Listen to all of these sermons then. That all of you complained about out there that hate me anyway, you complained about those sermons anyway?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because you don't like good doctrine either.
Right.
I give you good doctrine, walk ye in it. You don't want to walk in it.
Nope.
What'd they say? Remember, ask for the old paths, where it is the good way, and walk ye therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls.
Right.
They would not.
That's right.
So you have people bringing in witchcraft into the church. CCM, sodomites, wickedness sanctioned by the church. Big Daddy Weave and CCM and worldliness abounds in the churches. But hey, let's go back to sleep. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. Let's go back to sleep. You ever tried to wake a drunk up? But they haven't slept it off. You know how angry they get? Man, they get mad. They don't want to wake up and they get real angry. Well, when Christians are intoxicated with the affairs of this life and you try to shake them and wake them up, they get mad. They get angry. They try to punch you.
Right.
They threaten to come see you and do you bodily harm. Romans 13:11 says, in that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep.
Yep.
It's It's time to wake up.
Yep, right, yep.
For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light.
Amen.
Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof.
Amen.
When you wake up sleepyheads, they get angry.
Yep.
And the watchman will deal with the backlash of doing so. 2 Timothy 4:5 says, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry."
Amen.
Watch thou in all things. Oh, don't do that stuff. Why are you always talking about that war stuff?
Yeah, because we're in a battle.
Yeah, why are you always talking about that stuff? One guy told me, "Oh, I used to talk about that. I don't talk about that anymore. I grew past that. I don't talk about that war stuff." I mean,
you retired from the front lines.
You got to get out of that. I mean, don't. I mean, what's he telling me? Go back to sleep, preacher. Go back to sleep.
Yeah.
Go back to sleep, preacher. Just go back to sleep. Quit trying to wake people up. "But watch thou in all things, be vigilant against error and against sin and faithfulness in the performance of duty. But watch thou the apostasy and the looseness of the times we live in." Listen to this quote. This is really good. "The apostasy and looseness of the times we live in must make us the more watchful. Their falls must be our fears.
Amen.
Their levity must quicken us to constancy.
Amen.
And their negligence must quicken our diligence in keeping the watch of the Lord."
Amen.
No, not because we're better, because we fear for falling in the same thing.
Amen.
"But watch thou in all things, relating to himself his doctrine and conversation, and to others, to feed the flock of God under his care, to know the state of them and care for them, to give the time of night and notice of the approaching danger, and see the laws of Christ put in execution, either in allusion to shepherds who watch over their flocks by night, or to watchmen that are upon the walls of the city." The scripture, "watching or waiting," implies steadfast faith, patience, hope, laboring love, unceasing prayer. "Yea, the mighty exertion of all the affections of the soul that a man is capable of in all things, whatever you are doing, yet in that and in all things, watch." 1 Corinthians 15:34, "Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." By the way, he's talking, 1 Corinthians, he's talking to save people.
Right.
I've never met a bunch of people that are more ignorant of God and who God is and his attributes than these people, which I know that the next thing I'm going to cover are the attributes of God.
Amen.
That's what we're moving on to in our study from Christology to the attributes of God, because it is so necessary, because so many people have no clue who God is.
Right.
They don't. That's you'll become a Pelagian. You'll become one of those people. You'll become those people if you don't know the attributes of God.
Right.
One thing about them, you'll find out they don't study the attributes of God because it's about them and not God.
Yep.
They don't want to know the why, because you study the attributes of God, you start figuring out real quick, wait a minute, it's about Jesus, not about me.
Amen.
Yeah.
Right.
"Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light."
Amen.
Ezekiel chapter 3, verse number 17. "Son of man," Ezekiel chapter 3, verse number 17. "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman of the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me." Same principle applies today. "When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul."
Amen.
Again, "When a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness, and commit iniquity, and I am a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand."
Wow.
"Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul." You know, it's interesting, as we close here, I want you to think about this for a second. just like when we go street preaching, when we go out there and we preach, we're warning the righteous and we're warning the wicked.
Yep.
Both of them. Last night.
Oh,
I'm telling you, last night.
Crazy.
It's just... I was praying before that, Lord, help us to preach to somebody that's going to the Christians. That, you remember that?
Yep.
You guys were in the,
yep.
That preach to those Christians that are going in there. That I know there's going to be some saved people there. As I was standing there on that place, and I was preaching first.
Right.
I was like, you guys know full well, how often do I preach first up there? I usually don't. I usually always put somebody else. I mean, I can't even think of the last time I preached first. Okay? But God had me preach first. And I walked up there, I grabbed that megaphone, and I started preaching. And out of the corner of my eye, I could not believe it. At a Journey concert and a Doobie Brothers concert, a deacon that I used to go to church with,
right,
at the old church I was at, was going in there with his wife, and they looked over at me and they heard me.
Wow.
But I don't know if they recognized me exactly, but they heard the words of the gospel, and they heard the words of a warning.
Amen.
And they went in there anyway.
Wow.
And they were trying to ignore it. I could tell they were phew, phew. And I remember that man gave me a car.
Wow.
That man one time gave me a car. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it.
Wow.
That here's a deacon. A former deacon. He's not a deacon now there, but a former deacon of that church. Going into that concert, and we happen to be out there to warn them. Independent Fundamental Baptist Church, right? And we were out there to warn them, and I was out there to be able to preach to them. And I say that because it had an impact on me, not because I'm something great, but it had an impact on me because God allowed me to be in that place in that time. And you know what it does? It does what that says. Their failures make us be vigilant,
yep,
and understand that we're not better than them.
Nope.
And take heed lest you fall.
Yep.
Right.
Because that could be any of us.
That's right.
Amen.
That could be any of us. So watch. 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 Jesus said, could you not tarry 1 hour? We watch in prayer. Right? Warning, being sober, being vigilant. But nobody likes the watchman, but it's necessary. Because when danger comes, you need a watchman to warn.
Yep.
To warn. And I'm telling you, friend, it's so important today. And pastors aren't doing it. There ought to be thousands of sermons on Sermon Audio and other places about Billy Graham's apostasy. And I know there's some on there, but I'm just saying, there ought to be a ton of them.
Right.
But it's not these independent Baptists that are doing it. The Reformed guys and other guys are doing it. But a lot,
yep,
of the independent Baptists, what are they doing? Nothing.
Yep.
Yoking up with the Southern Baptist Convention.
Yep.
Bragging that 60 pastors came.
Yeah.
From all over, and they were not all independent Baptists. They were other denominations and people that were Pentecostals and all kinds of things. Right.
Yeah.
And they're welcome to the apostasy. Apostasy 2016.
Yeah.
Together, 2016. The Baptist version of Nick Hall. Right there. So you say, why are you getting so loud, preacher? Because somebody's got to warn. And I'm not the only one. There's other men doing it, and I thank God for them. There's 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. We understand that. We're not the only ones. But I thank God that He placed it in our hearts to warn people about these things.
Amen.
And there's other men that God is raising up in this church, and you're warning people about things, and you're trying to get out there and warn people about things. And you know what? You're finding out a small taste of what it's like to do that and see the backlash of it. Because people don't like it. They don't like to be awakened out of their sleep. They don't like a bright light. You know, I have that flashlight that has 1,000 lumens, right? Lumens. And if I take that and I shine it in your eyes, you'd get mad. Ah! In the middle of the night, you'd get really angry. That's really bright, right?
Right.
That's what you're doing to them.
Yep.
And they want to go on in their sleep.
So a watchman is in a separate position.
No, a watchman's not a separate position in the church. It's not a separate position as somebody that can say, well, I'm not going to go to a church, submit to local church authority, but I hold the position of a watchman. No, there is no position of a watchman. A watchman is what a bishop does, a pastor does. Now, you as a husband, yeah, you're a watchman over your home. You as a mother are a watchman over your children. Yeah, it's a soldier's duty. That's right. But there's not this position of, well, I'm a watchman. Like, there's people out there right now that aren't part of local New Testament churches,
right,
and won't be, and have online internet ministries that are huge and everything, and
yep,
they're watchmen. you know, they're watchmen. They say, well, we're watchmen. Well, that's not a position in the local church.
No.
You're supposed to be a member of a local New Testament church.
Right.
Get there. Move to one. Now, we're all to watch and be sober. I understand. But that's not a separate position. You don't have some separate authority to be a watchman.
Amen.
Right? It's not some authority that you set up outside so you can... That's not how it works. All right? That's not what the Bible says. If you look at it, it's actually the pastors, the bishops, the shepherds. Mm-hmm. They are the ones that are primarily given that. Now, you have, like I said, again, you have a responsibility to watch. Too. You've got to watch and guard against a pastor turning apostate. And you have to watch. Right? For sound doctrine and things else. But
right.
It's not some separate position that keeps you out of the local church and gives you some authority.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, anyway, so let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. And Lord, we just pray that folks would understand. Folks would take heed lest they fall. Lord, we're trying to warn people. Help us also, Lord, as we warn others to look inside and look at our hearts according to the word of God. And search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me, Lord. Because we don't want to exalt ourselves. We're not better than anybody, Lord. Saved by grace and in desperate need of the power of the Holy Ghost every moment of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Yeah.